1320WILS.com. It's 65 degrees. We're experiencing some rain on and off in the mid-Michigan area. That should be subsiding as we get into the afternoon. We'll have more details on that coming up in just a few minutes. Let's go out to the McLaren Health Plan phone line at 393-3700 and talk with Keith Johnson, who is the president of the Detroit Federation of Teachers. Keith, how are you?
Doing well. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How many people do you represent?
Approximately 5,400. That's down from a peak of nearly 13,000 just 10 years ago. Not even 10 years ago, about 7 years ago. But with the advent of charter schools and the exodus of citizens from the city of Detroit, our student population has dropped from 181,000 in 2002 to a current number of about 52,000 in our membership has dropped from 12,500 to about 5,400.
Do you expect that to flatten out, or are we going to continue to see a decrease?
Well, hopefully, quality of life issues in Detroit will be addressed to stabilize our population. And, you know, even though the birth rate is going down throughout the state of Michigan, we would like to believe that we will flatten out and maintain some stability, if not even a student increase.
What is your take on the state of the Detroit public schools, especially in regards to the leadership, especially of the school board?
Well, I think that right now the leadership is kind of in a state of flux. It will be interesting to see in light of the Supreme Court decision and now the repeal of PA4 being placed on the ballot, how will Roy Roberts react to the diminishment of some of his authority? It is without question that under Public Act 72, which the Attorney General says is now resurrected, that the Detroit School Board now has control over matters of academics. Roy Roberts has control over matters of finance. So it is my hope, in the interest of our students, that the two entities will be able to have a peaceful coexistence and do what's in the best interest of children. Having said that, given the rather domineering personality of Mr. Roberts, and the fact that he has gotten accustomed to having absolute control, it's difficult for me to see him relinquishing it, and I really think that that adversely will affect the children of Detroit.
All right. As someone who is from the Detroit area, I'm from Mount Clemens, I have seen the dysfunction with, I don't know if I want to say school district or Board of Education or the lack of high test scores with the city. There's obviously a lot of reasons for that. But it's a fact that it's been a mess down there forever and ever and ever. Why is that?
One thing, this school district has engaged in what I call a perpetual blend of fiscal mismanagement. There were political decisions that were made instead of practical decisions through the years that resulted in us accumulating a tremendous deficit, $327 million last year, and down to $72 million this year. But still, that's an astronomical debt to have accumulated. Even with that, when you compound that factor with the fact that we have what I call some intrinsic cultural inhibitors to student achievement, such as truancy, and we don't have an attendance policy for our students, transiency, we have some of our students that may go to 3, 4, or 5 schools within the course of a school year because of the factors in their lives. We have the issue of safety and security, which is the primary reason why most parents take their children out of Detroit public schools. It has nothing to do with the quality of instruction. They're concerned about the safety and security of their children. So this melting pot of dysfunctional behavior has really been at the core of the dysfunction of the Detroit public school district. And one of the things that I submit to you and anyone else is that if we truly want people to entrust their children to Detroit Public Schools, then we've got to change the course of our delivery. We've got to change the course of our responsibility and accountability relative to making sure that we provide a safe learning and teaching environment for our students and staff.
Do you think that with Roy Roberts at the helm, that fiscally the district is improving?
On the one hand, you cannot argue with the fact that he came up with some innovative ways to restructure our debt service to allow the district to put itself into a position to recover fiscally. The problem is that Roy Roberts seems to believe that the collective bargaining agreements of the union workers, not just DFT, but all the employees, is the way to address the deficit. And truly, it is not. Our salaries and benefits did not put the district into this financial hole, and cutting them is not going to get the district out of this financial hole. So I think that Roy Roberts became very consumed with having absolute authority under Public Act 4. And I think that he's become the poster child for why this has to be repealed. Because Public Act 4, the only thing it has proven can be done is that you can obliterate collective bargaining rights. It hasn't demonstrated a capacity to effectively address deficit situation. So the reduction in the deficit had nothing to do with the concessions that were imposed or the eradication of collective bargaining rights. He was able to sell some bonds in order to restructure the debt and buy the district additional time in order to pay off his debt service. So, you know, I'm not impressed with the totality of work that he has done, but equally important, Roy Roberts has not demonstrated a willingness to work collaboratively with the union in terms of educational issues.
All right. Before we get into that, I want to ask you, when you have a fiscal challenge, it's not the teacher's fault, but the district is in a multi-million dollar deficit type situation. It's not your fault, but doesn't everyone have to take a hit to try and get you out of there? You can't maintain making what you're making and help the situation, can you?
And we understand that, and we have operated within the context of the district's fiscal reality. The collective bargaining agreement that expired on June the 30th, over its life, 3-year life, reduced the district's cost by over $200 million. My members took we had this program called the Termination Incentive Plan, in which $250 was deducted from their check. It was supposed to be for roughly a year and a half, but ended up being about $1,000 short. Still, there was $9,000 that came out of every member's check. That alone saved the district $53 million. So there comes a point you have to ask yourself, okay, now that we've instituted these cuts and we still have the deficit going, what is it that we're doing? What else can we do aside from a fact affecting the quality of life of our employees, asking them to do more for less? What else can we do in order to address this deficit situation?
All right, Keith.
You cannot cut your way to prosperity on the backs of the people that you're charging with delivering instruction.
All right. Now, you don't feel that Roy Roberts should be in charge of education issues. I would say there's enough information available that it would be safe to say that the district hasn't handled its business when it came to education issues. So why not let someone else have an opportunity to try and correct the issues?
Well, personally, I believe that when you look at education, you should have an academician as head of your school district relative to the academic side of it. And I think that what has hurt Detroit is the fact that since 1992, we have had 17 different people lead this school district. Each one of them has had their own approach to how we should deliver instruction in Detroit Public Schools. Now, the one thing that Roy Roberts and I agree upon is that wherever academic plan is ultimately laid out, and hopefully it would be one that was that is jointly developed, it must transcend Keith Johnson, Roy Roberts, or whoever is leading the school district and whoever is leading the union. What we've had in the past is each time we've had a new academic leader, the school district, the employees have had to acclimate themselves to that individual's plan. And what Roy Roberts and I believe is that whoever comes in to succeed him, or if now the school board has control over academics, whoever succeeds them and the superintendent that they ultimately appoint, that individual should be married to the academic plan that they inherit. Doesn't mean that they can't tweak it, but they have to be married to the overall academic platform in order for us to have stability. When you continue to have this change in leadership and this change in ideology, you invariably are going to hold your district back because nothing ever gets an opportunity to gain traction because you're constantly changing.
All right, Keith, final question for you. I wanted to get your take on how do you think people feel, especially, let's just say, here in Lansing, since that's where our primary audience is. Our audience goes to Mount Pleasant, down to Jackson, all of Lansing, over to the Brighton area, and over towards the Grand Rapids area. Okay, so how do you think that those people feel when they see tax dollars going to the Detroit school district to help them when they have their own issues here?
Well, I don't know that any additional tax dollars are going to Detroit other than those that are required by state or federal law. We get a foundation allowance that is comparable to other communities such as Brighton, such as Lansing, such as Okemos. The difference is that those communities have a much more solid tax base in terms of their property ownership and property taxes. Now, because we have over 87% of our students that qualify for free or reduced lunch, there's a tremendous amount of money that we get in terms of of federal funds, whether it's Title I, Title IIA, IDEA funds, and the like that other communities do not receive. And I think what should be frustrating to those outside of Detroit, as it is to those who are inside Detroit, is that because of that perpetual blend of fiscal mismanagement that I spoke of, Detroit has never optimized, or at least not in the past 20 years or so, has not optimized the revenues that we get. When you have to return $40 million to the federal government because you did not properly utilize it or you did not have a plan that allowed for its utilization, that's problematic. When you have to repay money to the Fed out of your general fund because you misused some of your federal funds, that's an abomination. And it's those types of abominations that have plagued us through the years. So certainly those outside of Detroit have a right to feel frustrated, but believe me, they are no more frustrated than those of us who live and work here. And for the record, all three of my children graduated from Detroit Public Schools. I'm a Detroit Public School graduate. I still live in the city of Detroit. My oldest son works for Fox Sports and is an Emmy winner. My youngest son works in Detroit Public Schools, and my daughter is in her senior year majoring in nursing at Wayne State. So I know that there is good quality that comes out of Detroit Public Schools. And none of my children went to Cass or Renaissance or Martin Luther King. One went to Central, one went to Mumford, and one went to Communication and Media Arts High School. So they went to neighborhood schools, and they are doing very well with their lives. And I think that's more indicative of what can and does happen in Detroit Public Schools, and it's overshadowed by the problems that plague us.
We've been having a fascinating conversation with Keith Johnson, who's the president of the Detroit Federation of Teachers. Keith, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much for the time and the opportunity, and look forward to talking to you again.
It's the Tony Conley Morning Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com. When we come back, we've got a spokesperson from the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. What's their take on how much parents should spend on school supplies? That story next on 1320 WILS.